to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love You. And Lord, we are grateful again to be in Your house and grateful that we can open Your Word and read Your truths of Your words, Lord. And I do pray now that You'll fill me with Your Spirit. I pray You'll give me Your words. I pray You'll give me Your thoughts and Your direction here and Your wisdom here as we look here at Your coming and You coming back and the rapture and the events that will take place here when that happens, Lord. And I just pray You'll do Your what only You can do, Lord, and that's to speak to the hearts of those here today. And we'll give You the glory for everything You do. It's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Now, death was never part of God's original creation. Physical death, spiritual death came into God's creation because of man's disobedience. The disobedience of Adam. Right? When God placed Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, it was a perfect place. It was a perfect place. There was no sin in it. And God told Adam that they could eat of the fruit of every tree out there except for one. Right? He put some restrictions on, one restriction on them, which required that they would have to be obedient then to the Word of God. He said there in Genesis chapter 2 and verses 16 and 17, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." This, the death sentence was put into play there. He said, if you eat it, you're going to die. But when they ate, both physical and spiritual death came that day when Adam ate of that fruit there. And immediately they began to die physically. They died spiritually, but they began to die physically. And eventually they all died, right? Romans 5:12 says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Right? And as it is appointed on the man once to die, but after this, the judgment. And the Bible talks about a resurrection, and we read here about the resurrection of the dead and the rapture. But Jesus said this in John chapter 5 and verses 28 and 29. He said, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear His voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." You see, there's going to be a resurrection, not only of believers, but also a resurrection of those who have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in our text here, we're looking at the rapture. The next major event on God's prophetic calendar is the rapture of saved believers. All right, saved believers. The rapture is when the dead in Christ will be resurrected. They'll be coming out of their graves, and the living, born-again Christians will be changed, will be glorified, and will be taken up to heaven to be with the Lord forever. Now, the rapture, that's our hope. Right, that is our comfort. Right? We find hope in that. We are to be looking for Jesus to come. We're to be looking for the rapture. We're not to be looking for the Antichrist. Okay, there are many Antichrists in the world, even today. We are to be looking for Jesus Christ, and that's it. We're not to be looking for some sign. We're to be looking for Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible does not say that Christians will be safe from tribulations in life. We know that life brings trials and tribulations, but the saved will be safe from the great tribulation on earth that will occur after the rapture. The Bible says that we're not appointed to go through that wrath in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 9. He said, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." You see, in the book of Revelation, the church is not seen on earth from Revelation chapter 4 on. Right? But we do know that many will be saved during the tribulation time. There will be 144,000 Jews from 12 tribes of Israel that God will use to get the gospel out, to spread the gospel, and multitudes and multitudes of people will be saved during that time. So today we're going to look at this. We're going to look at the events concerning the second coming of Jesus Christ. So first of all, I want you to see here some facts about the rapture. Okay, some facts. There in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verses 16 and 17, he tells us exactly the facts, exactly how it's going to take place. He says, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." We're talking about Jesus Christ here. We're talking about Jesus. We're talking about the only begotten Son of God. We're talking about the Holy One of Israel, the Forgiver of sins, the Lamb of God, the resurrected Savior. We're talking about God, the Son, the second part of the Trinity. Jesus Christ is who this is. There is no substitute, right? There is no representative coming in His place. Jesus Christ will descend from heaven with a shout. He's coming in the clouds. He's not coming all the way to the earth at this point. If you remember in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 11, the Bible says that He would come in like manner. He would come in like manner as you've seen Him go into heaven. But the Lord will descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trumpet God. And what's going to happen? The dead in Christ are coming out of the grave. Right? The dead in Christ shall rise first. This is all of those that have died being born again, that have died believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, that have died, that were saved, have been born again. Only the departed believers will rise at this time. No unbeliever will be resurrected, not at this point. Again, you got to get this. This is only the dead in Christ. Those that believe in Jesus Christ that have died will be resurrected at this time. Every grave will come open. Hey, those that's been buried at the sea, lost at the sea, they're not lost. God knows where they are. And on this time, this appointed time, those bodies will come out of the sea. Right? And all over the battlefields, those bodies will come out of that battlefield. The deserts, the graves, wherever they lie, wherever that dead body went into the ground, that's where they're coming out. You see, when you die, the body goes to the ground, but the soul goes to heaven or hell. And we're talking about saved people here, so that saved person, he dies, his body went to the ground, but his soul went to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Right? And their bodies at this moment will be raised, transformed, to live with God forever and ever. All right, that's what's going to happen. Facts of the rapture. The bodies of those departed believers will rise first, and then, look at verse 17. He says, "Then we which are alive and remain," hey, that could be us. If it happens right now, that's us. That's us. "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up," right? Caught up. Where we get the word rapture. Caught up. "Together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." What a glorious promise that is, right? We can stand on that promise, because that is a promise that is going to happen, and it is going to happen just like the Bible says. We will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. We will be reunited with all of our saved loved ones. But even more special than that, we will see Jesus. We will see Jesus. We will be with our Savior, the One who saved us, the One who died on the cross for all of our sins. And He promised us a mansion in heaven. We will see Jesus. Now, when Paul wrote this, he was expecting this event, this rapture, to happen in his lifetime. Now, you notice when he wrote this, he said, "we." Right? He's we. When we, which are alive, he's including him in it. He's thinking this is going to happen now, anytime. But here's the thing, we're 2,000 years down the road. We're 2,000 years closer, right? Paul was looking for that blessed day in his life. Are we looking for it today? Are we really looking for him to come? I mean, it could happen right now. Right? Turn over to 1 Corinthians, and we'll pick this up in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look there in 1 Corinthians 15 and look in verse 51 and 52. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 and 52, he says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep," meaning we all not are going to die, all right? "But we shall all be changed." 52. "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." It's going to happen just like that. It's going to happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Now, it's said that the average person will blink 25 times in a minute. Right, that's an average time. But an involuntary blink, it'll take 1/50th of a second. Right? 1/50th of a second. You know what that means? That means that during a 10-hour car trip driving 55 miles an hour, you will drive 33 miles with your eyes closed. That's a scary thought. Right, Brother Ricky? That's a scary thought. Out on the roads, out on the highways, your eyes are closed. No, scary to think about. Right? But the twinkling of an eye, right? That is 100 times faster than the blink of an eye. The twinkling of an eye is what the Bible says here. He's coming in the twinkling of an eye, and that is literally the time it takes for light to glance off a person's eyeball. And so the Bible is teaching us here that the rapture is going to happen at the speed of light. The speed of light, which is interesting because in John chapter 8 and verse number 12, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world." And he's coming in the twinkling of an eye. And you read on there in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 53, he says, "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." Hey, that's a glorious promise. Hey, all believers are going to be transformed, given a perfect body that will never age, will never get old, will never have arthritis, will never deteriorate, will never have broken bones, will never have to have surgery. We will be given a perfect body to live with God in the new heaven and the new earth. If you could flip all the way to 1 John chapter 3. Right? On this day, some facts of the rapture. Look there at 1 John chapter 3 in verse number 2. In 1 John chapter 3, verse number 2. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 2. I want you to see this here, verse here. A glorious, glorious promise. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 2 says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear," get this, "we shall be like Him. We shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." Hey, we'll see Jesus. We will see Jesus, and we shall be just like Him. No more of this flesh, no more of being tempted by the devil, of this world, of the flesh. None of that going on. We will be just like Him. When that rapture happens, all those born again will be made just like Jesus, conformed to the image of His very Son. Oh, to be just like Jesus. Let me give you a second thing here. If you turn over to Matthew chapter 24, right, those are some basic facts of the rapture here. But secondly, I want you to see here that we are to be watching. We are to be watching for Jesus to come. In Matthew chapter 24, in verse number 42, Matthew 24, verse 42, he says, "Watch." Hey, are you watching? Do we watch? Do we get too consumed with things in this world? Our jobs, our lives, our families, our fun things we want to do. Do we get too consumed with all these things of the world that we're not watching? He reminds us over and over in the Bible we need to be watching. All right, he says, "Watch, therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come." Right? Nobody knows when He's coming. You got all these false people out there that say, "Oh, Jesus is coming on this day, on this." No, they don't have a clue. They're false. Run from them. Don't listen to them. No, the Bible says nobody knows when He's coming. We do not know when He's coming. "Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." That's pretty much how the world is now, isn't it? Nobody's looking for Jesus. The world isn't looking for Jesus. They weren't looking for Him when He was born. They had all the prophecies. People aren't looking for Him today. They're too busy off buying and selling in the world. Verse 45 says, "Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing." We are to be watching. Why? Because it could happen at any moment. The rapture could happen at any moment. The rapture of all saved, born-again Christians is imminent. It could happen right now. Nothing needs to take place before it happens. There is no season. There is no sign. It can happen right now. And when it happens, there will be no warning. There will be no, "Hey, here's a warning for you. It's coming tomorrow." No, there's no warning of it coming. It will happen in a moment. In a twinkling of an eye, just as the thief comes. Right? Just as the thief comes, no one expects the thief. You're not waiting for him to come, burglarize your home. Are you? No. He doesn't call you and say, "I'm going to be over there tomorrow morning at 3 a.m. No, he doesn't do that, does he? No, he comes unannounced, right? He comes unannounced, and when you realize, it's too late. When you realize, it's too late. The rapture is to be expected. It is imminent, but it will happen when we least expect it. We need to be alert. We need to be ready. We need to be watching. In Psalm 119, 130, the Bible says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." Hey, we got to get in the Bible. We got to read the book. The Bible is going to light our path. It's going to give us direction. It's going to give us wisdom. You're not going to find the wisdom out in this world. Right? The wisdom's not going to come on the CNN news or the Fox News. Right? The Bible. Give us wisdom. Give us light. The Bible will do that. We got to quit being so concerned with the things in the world. All right? Christians are too concerned with what's going on in the world. We're not watching. We're not looking. We're not ready for Him to come. You see, the devil knows that. And the devil uses those things that's going on in the world to keep you and I distracted from watching. He'll use that to get us talking when we get together, to get us looking at, to watch what we're not supposed to be watching. God says, watch, look, be ready, because you don't know when it's going to happen. It's going to come like a thief in the night. And here's the thing. It's all God's mercy, right? God's mercy. Okay, God's mercy allows our heart to beat. God's mercy allowed our heart to beat long enough so we heard the gospel and we got saved, right? God's mercy. But here's the thing. There's many, many, many lost people in our neighborhood, right? When a person dies, that's it. They die and they go out into eternity, right? The day of mercy and grace is over at that point. The day of mercy is now. See, when a person dies lost, we know what happens. Luke 16. The Bible says there that the rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me.
See, here's the rich man. He died and he went to hell. He still feels. He still sees. He still thinks. He's saying, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. And he says, for I am tormented in this flame. He's still being tormented today. He's still asking for mercy. But the day of mercy is over. The day of mercy has come and gone. Listen, the point is this. The rapture is imminent. There will be no warning. We need to be ready. Are you ready? What if it happens before we get out of this church service tonight? Are you going up? Are you going to be left behind? If you would, turn over to Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13. Again, the warning is there. We're to watch. In Mark chapter 13, look there in verse 35. Mark 13, 35. Again, he says there in Mark 13, verse 35, he says, watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Hey, how many Christians are sleeping? How many of us are sleeping on duty? Right? In the military, if you're sleeping on duty, that's not a good thing. Right? Punishment will come. But how many Christians are sleeping on duty instead of doing what we're supposed to be doing? How many of us are sleeping? We're not watching. He says, watch. Watch. Why? Many false prophets are out there. You got to watch. You got to read your Bible. You got to know the truth, right? Too many people have tried to predict His coming, but with certain signs and things that must happen. Right? We've heard people say stuff like this. This must happen first, but there is nothing that needs to take place first before the rapture can happen. There's no signs. There's nothing that needs to take place. If you say something must take place first, then you're saying He cannot come right now. You're saying that His return, the rapture, is not imminent. The Bible does say it's not for us to know the times, the seasons, but we do know His coming is imminent, and we're to be watching for it. In Titus 2:13, the Bible says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We're to be looking constantly. Right there in Mark 13, look at verse 33. In verse 33, he says, watch. In verse 34, again, he says, watch. In verse 35, he says, watch. And in verse 37, again, he says, watch. Over and over and over, the command is there to watch. Are we watching? Are we watching? Can we live our lives looking and watching for His return? Can we? Do we? In order for that to take place, we got to do some things. What do we got to do? We got to get off of the video games. Right? We got to quit letting those video games rot our brains. We got to get off the screen time. Right? It's amazing how much screen time you can rack up. You say, I'm going to buy this one thing, and then you start researching it. And next thing you know, you got hours of screen time just researching one thing. Right? We're not watching. Right? Get off the social media, the Fox News. Put away all those distractions. Right? Why? Because those distractions keep us from being ready. Those distractions keep us from watching. Those distractions keep us from being prepared. You know what else those distractions do? They put us to sleep. The devil knows how to use those things, and he uses those, and he puts us to sleep. It's kind of like with COVID, right? The devil used COVID to put Christians to sleep, right? And through COVID, churches were closed and people got lazy, right? Christians got lazy at home in their pajamas watching church on TV. Church is not supposed to be that way. Church is not meant to be watched on TV. Church is meant to be assembled, assembling together. But the devil takes all these things, and he, you know, the devil's been at it a lot longer than we've been around. He knows how to get people. He knows how to deceive people. He knows how to tempt people. And he knows how to get you to sin. Right? And he knows what makes people falter. And he uses all these things in our world today as big distractions. Big distractions in our life. And we call it, oh, just living in 2025. But no, they're distractions to keep us from watching, to keep us from being ready. Listen to this. In 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, he says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 6, he says, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. And 2 Timothy 4, 5, he says, but watch thou in all things, in all things. 1 Peter 4, 7, he says, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Here's the thing with that. Christians, churches, are not watching. We're not watching. And those same Christians, those same churches will be devoured by the devil and led astray by his deceptive false paths. I mean, you can look around today. You can look around wherever you want. You can look around Macon. You can look around Georgia. You can look around and there are so many people deceived. Deceived on heaven, deceived on God. There are so many churches that are deceived today. Right? They are not standing for the Bible. They do not know the Bible. They do not preach the Bible. They do not stand on the Bible. So many churches are there for just social groups. Right? They're there for just the gatherings, the get-togethers, the things that they can get involved with. And it has nothing to do with Jesus. Jesus is not in the midst of so many of these churches. You know, it amazes me. When we came from Alabama, I think it was the biggest church there where we lived was a church that didn't even have a pastor. Right, it was a church that they watched it on the screen. They had a big screen, and they would have a pastor from down South Alabama up on the screen preaching, giving the message. It just amazes me. That's not biblical. That's not a real church. The way, you know, the Bible says, the way Acts says, right? That's not biblical. But it's evident people aren't there for Jesus. It's evident they're not there for that. They're just there for the social aspects of that. But again, what am I saying? I'm saying that you can be easily led astray. You can be easily deceived by the devil if you're not studying and reading your Bible, right? Reading your Bible. So you know, preachers preaching, right? You want to turn to the Bible verses, right? We want to look at it, right? You want to see those Bible verses. You want to write them Bible verses down so you can look at them later. Right, so you're not deceived on the Word of God. You know what it says. In 2 Corinthians 11:3, it says, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Hey, that old serpent, he's not going to give up. Right? Not going to give up. But I got a third thing here I'm going to look at here. I want you to see here what's going to take place after the rapture. Okay, so if you could turn back over to 1 Thessalonians and look at chapter number 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And look there at verses 1 and 2 to get us moving here. Alright, so the rapture happens. What's going to take place next? Here we go. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 it says, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now, we read in chapter 4 there, the rapture. So immediately Paul talks about the rapture, and then he mentions here the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is going to be the tribulation period on earth. Right? The tribulation period on earth where God is judging the earth, and we see that in Revelation 6 through 19. If you could flip over to Revelation, that'll get us going in there. And look there in Revelation chapter 6. So immediately following the rapture, what's going to take place is a 7-year period on this earth called the tribulation. This will be on the earth. The tribulation immediately following the rapture. There will be no saved people on this earth at that time. All of the saved people were raptured up into heaven. But there are going to be saved people saved during this 7 years. Okay, but not at this point. The Antichrist is going to come on scene. Here in Revelation chapter 6, we see that. Revelation 6, 1 says, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And get this, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Right? The Antichrist is going to come on scene, and he is going to be a world ruler. He is going to rule the world. He is going to take control of the world's system, the world's money, and he's going to try to attempt to make one final attempt to destroy Jesus Christ. And there in verse number 3 and 4, the second seal, it says, "And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, Come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth." There could be any peace here on this earth at that time. "And they that should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword." Right? Much death at this time. Tribulation here, 7 years, there's going to be much death and tribulation at this time. But that Antichrist, he's going to come on scene, and he's going to sign a peace treaty with Israel. And halfway through that treaty, he's going to break that treaty and turn on Israel. Right? And at that point there's going to be a great tribulation poured out on this earth in the very end. And it's also known at that time as Jacob's trouble. You can read about that in Jeremiah chapter number 30 and verse number 7. But while all this is happening on earth, this great tribulation, at that rapture, when the Christians went up, we're going to be standing in front of the Lord Jesus Christ. We will be going to the judgment seat of Christ. In Romans 14:10, the Bible says, "For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." In 2 Corinthians 5:10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." You see, we will stand before Jesus Christ and give an account of our lives when that rapture takes place. But the purpose of that is not for salvation, okay? Salvation was already settled. That's why you were raptured, okay? The purpose of this judgment is for rewards, right? Rewards, whether it's a reward or it's a loss of reward. You see, when the Lord saved us, He called us to serve Him, right? He didn't call us to sit and wait for heaven. I'm saved now, waiting. No, He saved us, and now we're to serve Him. And the purpose of this judgment is for rewards, right? Paul said, "I fought a good fight. I finished the course," right? That's what we want to say. But also, what's going on in heaven after the rapture, after the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to have the marriage supper of the Lamb. If you would flip over to Revelation chapter 19. This is another glorious promise. A great time that will be had after the judgment seat of Christ there. In Revelation chapter 19, look at verse 7. It says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And He saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And He saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God." The marriage supper of Lamb, it's going to be a great feast. It's going to be a blessed celebration, right? The most blessed celebration in all time. Why? Because all the believers are going to be there. Jesus is going to be there. God's going to be there all together for the very first time. Everyone in heaven is going to be praising God. Everybody in heaven is going to be singing, praising, hallelujah. Hey, are you sure you want to go to heaven? Right? There's going to be a lot of praising, a lot of glorifying God, a lot of good things and worshiping the Lord. Are you sure you want to be there? Right? But hey, that's what's going on in heaven, right? And then 7 years after that rapture, 7 years, Jesus is coming back all the way to this earth. Revelation chapter 19, look there. Right there, right after the marriage supper of the Lamb there in verse number 11. It says, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True." Right, so this is Jesus Christ. This is different from the white horse we read earlier. Deception, deceiving, right? This is the white horse that Jesus is on. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God, right? Jesus Christ. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, right? All those saved us coming back with him in white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is Jesus Christ. The armies of all the nations are gathered up against Israel. They're ready to defeat Israel. Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth. The battle of Armageddon. He is going to defeat the armies. He is going to defeat Satan. He's going to defeat the Antichrist here. Look there in verse 19. He says, "And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive," get that, alive, "into a lake of fire burning with brimstone." Right? He goes on, "And the remnant were slain." All those that were gathered there to battle are slain. They're slain through Jesus Christ there. And now Jesus is going to set up his kingdom here on earth. It's a 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ on this earth. As you keep reading in chapter 20, he says, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and he bound him 1,000 years. Okay? 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ now on this earth. No Satan. Satan is not on this earth. He is bound for 1,000 years. In verse 3, "And cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled." 1,000 years. Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years. Okay? This is a literal 1,000 years. Okay? During the tribulation, you have people that are going to be saved. They are going to come over in this time, just like you and I, will be flesh. They'll be married. They will have children. 1,000 years, the earth will be replenished. It will be repopulated during that time of those that were saved during the tribulation. Okay, global warming isn't going to stop it. Climate change isn't going to stop it. None of those things are going to destroy the earth. Right? If the rapture happens now, you got a 7-year period of tribulation, then you got a 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ on this earth. The earth isn't going anywhere for at least 1,007 years. And when Jesus is ruling on this earth, there is going to be peace on earth. He's going to rule with a rod of iron. Isaiah 9:7 tells us that. That's another one of those prophecies. Isaiah 9:7 says, "Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Hey, again, peace is only coming through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ brings peace. And we read on here in Revelation chapter 20, he is going to have a revenge on Satan here in verse number 7. In chapter 20, if you read that here, it says, "And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison," and get this, verse 8, "and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, and the number of whom is as the sand of the sea." This is what I can't understand. You have Jesus Christ ruling on this earth. Okay? People see Jesus Christ ruling. He is ruling in all righteousness. There is no devil on this earth to deceive anybody. He's bound. But yet, people still turn away from the Lord. People turn away from His righteousness. People still turn away from getting saved. And it's just not a couple people. He says there that it's whom is as the sand of the sea are going to turn against Jesus Christ on this day. Those that never got saved, that I just can't get it. Right? You can't understand it. But here's what happens to them in verse 9. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. All right? And then there's going to be a revenge on sinners in Revelation 20, verse 11. Right? If we read that, it says, "Then I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." This is the judgment of all the lost. This is the judgment of all the lost. The second resurrection for all the lost people to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ on that day. Find out that their names are not written in the book of life. They were never born again. They never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. They will be cast into the lake of fire where there's no escape. That'll be an awful, awful day. Awful day. And you and I, as saved people, we will be there as witnesses, as each one is cast into the lake of fire. Right, so what about that person that says, "Well, you know, I see your account there. I see what the Bible says about the rapture. What if I just wait until those things happen and then I'll get saved? Then I'll believe it." Right? That's not the way it works. It's not the way it works. Right? It's not going to work like that at all. If you turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we're just about to wrap this up. If you're waiting around for that day to come, for you to be saved, it's not going to happen. You are not even guaranteed another minute. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I want you to see this here. I'll begin reading in verse number 8. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. It says, "And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of His mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of His coming." Verse 9. "Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved." Right? And so people reject the love of God. When they do not believe the gospel, they reject the love of God. They do not believe on Jesus Christ. In verse 11, get this here. He says, "And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion." God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. So those that think I can wait till the rapture happens and I'll see it and I'll know it and I'll get saved, God is going to send strong delusion, and many people says here that they should believe a lie. Verse 12, "that they all might be damned who believe not the truth." Right? They rejected the gospel. They did not believe the truth, but had pleasure and in right and unrighteousness. Right? They loved their sin. They wanted their sin. They did not want to get saved. They rejected the truth. You see, the Antichrist is going to come on scene, and he is going to be filled with satanic deception. He's going to be deceiving people. And God is going to send strong delusion to those who've heard the gospel and rejected it. If you have heard the gospel
and rejected and are waiting for the day of the rapture so that you could see it and get saved, it's not going to happen. God is going to send strong delusion and you will believe a lie. You will believe a lie. You will believe not the truth. God wants everybody saved. God wants everybody saved. You get that? He's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. But a person can reject. A person has a free will. And that's what he's saying. He said, you had your free will. You had your chance. You know, you received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. They chose. Right? He's saying they chose. They know the truth and they wanted to go on in their unrighteousness. They're without excuse. Right? Romans 1:18 says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Hey, look, Jesus could come today. Are you ready? Are you watching? Are you ready? Are you going? Are you staying? Can you answer these questions? Can you answer these questions? If you can't, if you don't know you're going, you need to be born again. You need to be saved. But if you're saved, are you serving Him? Are you living in light that He could come today? Why don't we, Gilead Baptists, just look for Jesus to come today? Let's pray.